This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan, Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
You stumble through your days, got your head hung low, your sky's a shade of gray, like a zombie in a maze. You're asleep inside, but you can't shake awake, cause you're just a dead man walking, thinking that's your only option. But you can flip the switch and brighten up your darkest day. Sun is up and the colors blinding, take the world and redefine it. Leave behind your narrow mind, you'll never be the same. Come alive, come alive, go light your light, let it burn so bright, reaching up
and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by a very, very special lady, somebody who everybody in the LGBT plus community knows, and it is the incredible Linda Riley. How are you doing, Linda?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Hi.
Hi, it's good to have you here. So let's talk about all the incredible things that you are doing. So I know that you are in charge of Diva magazine.
I am. I'm the publisher.
You're the publisher. So tell me, because I feel like Diva is such an important magazine, because as far as I'm aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, it is the only lesbian magazine in the... Oh, I feel like I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I am right, yeah.
There was one other magazine that used to be a G3 magazine. I used to publish that, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I started off as the rival to Diva.
Oh, and then you managed to slip in and steal it away.
Yeah.
So tell me about t- t- Tell our lovely listeners about Diva if they don't already know about it, which they absolutely should.
Yep, Diva's been going. Next year's our 25-year anniversary.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty long, almost older than me.
Yeah.
it's for lesbian and bisexual women. And, it comes out monthly. www.divamag is the website.
And do you ever, I'm going in with the controversy already, do you ever find it a little bit frustrating that maybe the kind of, because when people talk about the gay media or LGBT plus media, it so often seems to be like Gay Times, Attitude magazine, magazines for gay men that seem to come up time and time again, which I absolutely love those magazines, I do.
I've never heard of them.
Gay Times who? but you know, do you feel like... you know, there's such, I feel like the representation for lesbian and bisexual women, like you were saying, is so, so important. And I feel like sometimes it can be overlooked. Everything always seems to be made about gay men. And obviously Diva is incredibly successful, but that must be a little bit frustrating sometimes.
Yes, it is, but it's getting a lot better. Couple of years been a lot better. Last year we did the first ever big Diva Awards, a sit down black tie dinner.
Yeah,
had a lot of gay guys there as our allies. So things are improving. When I first started in publishing, it was a lot more difficult. But I'm laughing about Gay Times and Attitude, but we do a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
You know, we may say, well, you run this article. They're now running more articles for women, and we're also running more articles for gay guys. So we're becoming more inclusive.
It's really, really amazing. And I feel like particularly over the past couple of years, I mean, I don't know what's changed or if anything's changed at all. I feel like Diva is getting its name out there a lot more. I tend to be seeing it. I people talking about Diva. I've even been to a couple of Diva events recently. And I think that's wonderful. And I do think it's a great thing that we're kind of not just saying this is the magazine for gay people, this is the magazine for lesbians, and just keeping them completely separate, because I think, you know, there's so much shared experiences that we do share, and I think, you know, it's relevant. And, you know, I must admit I've never actually read a Diva magazine, and I feel like I should slap myself on the hand for that. Naughty Callum, you know. I feel like it's something that's relevant for all of us, especially within this community.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I became publisher 2 years ago, and one thing I decided when I did take over is that we wanted to build the brand, have more gay guys talking about it, do more events which gay guys are coming to. Mm. So, yeah, it's all going very well.
And who contributes to Diva? You know, where do you find the people who bring the magazine together and bring it to life?
We have a varying range. That's the other thing that I wanted to do. We have a varying range of contributors. We have freelancers. We have an editor, Carrie Lyle. We have Lady Phil,
yeah,
who's a regular columnist.
I love Lady Phil.
She's fantastic. if she's listening in now, I'd like to say happy birthday, because I missed it yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Lady Phil.
I'd like to think that what we try to do is make it more inclusive in the editorial content, in the photos that we're putting out. So we've got a big event, obviously, next week, the Diva Music Festival. So
yes,
we're doing very big events.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about next. Sorry. Because this is a really, really important thing. And as far as I understand, it's going to be the biggest all-female festival ever.
I hope so.
I hope so too. So tell me more about that, because I know the reasoning behind this is because I've got some statistics in front of me, and I'm being told that 77% of festival headliners were male. Mm-hmm. And you guys really wanted to change that, and you wanted to do something where it was all females, you know, because there's so much incredible music out there. It shocks me that 77% of that would be males at festivals.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, because there are so many big female names, you know, artists. What with the Diva Music Festival, what we wanted to do was bring together an all-female lineup,
yeah,
but not all necessarily gay women. So
yes,
that's Katie Tunstall, Gabrielle are the big headliners.
Yeah.
But a massive, you know, obviously Heather Peace, who I'm doing the festival with, we're co-partnering on this, is a big name.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Icon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's also a great singer, so she's headlining on Friday night. And then lots of supporting artists. I think we've got about 30 artists altogether over the weekend.
Amazing.
It's in Great Yarmouth, which yeah. A little bit of a trek.
It's a little bit, but you know, it is for all good festivals are a bit of a trek. You know, it's part of what makes festivals so much fun.
That's right. At least we don't have to sleep in the mud.
Yes. sleeping in the mud is part of the fun as well. You need a little bit of that.
Not in December.
Yeah, not in December. So you mentioned that, you know, it's a mix of people. Are many of the artists LGBT plus?
Yeah, I would say 70%.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
The majority are. The headliners, no. We've got Horse, we've got Red Sky July, we've got a massive mixture. We've got Toya De Lazy, who's very, very big in South Africa, is now living in London.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have DJs. It's going to be one big fest. It's going to be fantastic.
I do find what is quite interesting about LGBT plus artists and LGBT plus music, because obviously on this show we only play artists who are LGBT plus, and you know, every week I'm trying to bring together the best new music I can find, and I do find that most of the time it is women. I feel like the LGBT plus artists, you know, taking up that space are women, and there's actually a lot more women than men. So again, it shocks me when other festivals and things that, you know, they're pushing all the men out there when so many women, particularly LGBT plus women, making incredible music.
I don't know what that is, but I know there's a big call in the music industry. I mean, you must find this if you've got a lot of artists coming in, they're highly encouraged not to come out still.
Yeah.
Often I hear people being told by their management to say they're bisexual maybe rather than fully out. So there's a lot of problems that, you know, it's a long way to go to equality.
Yeah. And how do you think we change that, you know, because it's a really difficult thing. And you see, you know, I always use Troy Sivan as an example of this, you know, because he came out and, you know, his success only went up and up and up and up, and he's become this massive name now, you know. And I wouldn't say it's in spite of his sexuality. You know, I think his sexuality is part of who he is, and it's part of his performance, and it's part of his music. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And we're seeing success from him. And, you know, Jess Glynn as well is another great example. So, why are they being encouraged to keep it, to stay in the closet and keep it secret, if we're seeing that it's not affecting their careers?
I don't know, but from the names that you've named, can you say a big lesbian name, for example, that really comes off the tip of the tongue? Because what we're looking for is icons, you know,
yeah.
that encourages and inspires other people. So
I mean, I love Emily Burns, but mm-hmm. she's not yet a huge name. I feel like she's not quite a household name yet. And actually, it's a very good point, because I'm kind of struggling to think of a big, huge lesbian icon, and I guess that's a part of the problem. Can you name somebody?
Well, actually, I'm struggling myself, and I'm a bit embarrassed. I'm sure that if I think about it, I can come up with some, but then I'm scared of actually naming them, and I know they're out, but they're not really out in public.
Yes, and again, it's quite a tricky thing to do when looking for LGBT plus music, because a lot of the time I'm like, I'm fairly certain that person's LGBT plus, but it's not like there's a gay checker where you can go and check if somebody's LGBT plus or not, you know, and sometimes it can be quite ambiguous, so it can be quite difficult to know. And like, I don't think we should be putting everybody in a box and saying this person is an LGBT plus artist, but it can be quite tricky sometimes. Our lovely producer Tegan and Sarah, Hayley Kiyoko, and Kid Lang, I actually don't know that third one.
Thank you very much. I can't believe I didn't get Hayley.
Yeah, and she's incredible, and she's blowing up and going huge right now. I feel like, though, she's still not quite, you know, if you sat down your average person, I don't think everybody would be able to shout her name out, you know?
Yeah, and Tegan and Sarah as well. So
yeah.
KD Lang, those very big household names. As I said, the more people that do come out, it does inspire other people, you know.
Yeah.
And you're right about Troy Sivan.
Yeah. And how is, I guess, Diva, both the magazine, the music festival, even the awards, you know, how do you think you're making an impact on these things, you know, pushing out that representation, showing that there are incredible LGBT plus artists, music or otherwise, out there?
Definitely. I mean, that's one of the things I set out to do when I took over as publisher of Diva, is to publicise and promote LGBT artists and actors, and you know, we try not to just put famous faces on the cover every month. We try to put on faces that are homegrown talent as well, and growing and grow with the artist and stuff. So that's what we try to do at Diva. But yeah, it's difficult. Mm. The other issue as well is a lot of the younger generation, they don't like to be, as you say, boxed and be called a lesbian, you know.
Sure.
And they're moving to different labels and stuff like that. Lots going on, but still Diva's very, very popular.
Yeah.
More popular than it was when I first took it over, I hope.
Amazing. And if people want to come along to the Diva Music Festival, are tickets still available?
They are, yep.
And where can people find those?
If you go to the Diva website, or we've got the Diva Music Festival, www.divamusicfestival.com, you can book online there. It's going to be a fabulous event, and hope to see you there.
Well, I'm kind of tempted to come myself, you know. I mean, and are you encouraging that? Are you encouraging people from all walks of life to come along?
Absolutely, yeah. That's one thing that, because I do a lot of work in diversity aside from Diva, it's about inclusivity. It's saying Diva is for women,
yeah.
Predominantly gay women, but it's inclusive, you know, like you're not going to knock on the door and no men welcome, no,
yeah.
You know, exactly.
Which is really, really important.
Yeah.
Because I believe, and I may have this wrong, I believe you do the Diversity Awards as well. Are you behind that? Are you the lady behind that?
I am. I've got the day before the Diva Music Festival, I've got the European Diversity Awards. That's at the Natural History Museum. Those are
wonderful.
Biggest diversity awards across Europe. So,
yeah.
700 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you think those kind of events are kind of changing the way people look at things? And, you know, because I feel like you go back just a few years ago and we're seeing, and I guess it's still a problem now, but you would turn on the TV or you would go online or you'd be looking at an ad campaign or, you know, so many places, and you would kind of constantly be seeing your typical straight white cis people. And, you know, people are, I think, waking up a bit and saying, you know, we need to be representative of everything and everyone. Do you think, you know, events like that are making a difference?
Oh, they absolutely are. You know, you can tell by the people, just it inspires people to do good work.
Mm.
Those are more for the workplace, if you're, you know, they're more corporate.
Yeah.
But I also do stuff, I do the Pride Power List. It comes out in The Guardian.
Yes, I've read through it.
So we do that. And when I think back to when we started doing that, we couldn't even get 100 names to get on the list.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, you know, literally we could do the top 1,000, you know, so that's how much it changed for the gay community.
Well, I and again, going back to kind of LGBT plus artists, I remember first when I was trying to compile a list of all the LGBT plus musicians I could think of, I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be a struggle. And I was like, okay, I've got 10 names, and then add to that, and now I've got hundreds and hundreds of names, and like, you know, every day I'm adding to that, and you know, it is growing, and representation is improving, and that's a wonderful thing, and you should be proud of everything you're doing for contributing to that.
Thank you very much.
Later on in the show, we are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions. So if you would like a bit of advice, or you've got a burning question, or you just want to spill your secrets to us, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. I think it's about time for a bit of music. Linda, I've got a little bit of Muna for you. And they are three queer women, I believe, which seems very relevant to this conversation. This is Loudspeaker. Thank you. Okay, yes, so Linda and I were just having having a chat there, and I wasn't paying attention. the date of the music festival is coming up in December, I believe. I'm absolutely wrong, and it's not. It is the 30th of November. Is that right, Linda?
Yeah,
up until the 2nd of December. So it's a weekend affair.
Yeah.
Great. So if you want to get tickets to that, please do. I think it's really important we support things like this where, you know, it's doing so much work for, you know, female representation and also for LGBT plus representation. And, you know, Diva's an incredible thing that I think we should be supporting.
Thank you.
Linda, I think I want to have a little bit more of a chat about kind of wider LGBT plus representation, because I feel like I don't know if you're a big Netflix fan, but I feel like, you know, we're getting a lot more kind of lesbian and bisexual representation in things like TV shows and films now. And I feel like, you know, I watch so many Netflix shows, for instance, where it's becoming so much more common to see a lesbian character or to see a bisexual character. But it's also not a scandal like maybe it was like 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. You know, it used to be, oh, this character's coming out as a lesbian. This is a huge thing. This is shocking. I do feel like it's slowly becoming more normalized. And I kind of just wanted to get your thoughts on that. How much do you think things have improved?
I think they've improved. It's like you say, the big thing for lesbians was Anna Friel with the big lesbian kiss in Brookside years ago, and that caused an absolute scandal. Then we moved on to Coronation Street, and not so much of a scandal, but still, when Rosie was a lesbian.
Yeah.
But now, you're right, in Netflix there are a lot more lesbian characters, and people are talking about it without it being so important, like just matter-of-factly. My big issue on it is there just aren't enough lesbian actresses playing these roles, and it's a...
Yeah.
I do a lot of work in the States as well.
Yeah.
On this, because everybody says, oh, it's just acting.
Yeah.
And as I said to you before about naming lesbian artists, when you go to naming lesbian actors, and basically you can't pull out any big names.
It's the same again. It's a real struggle to think of people. Or just, I guess, even like lesbian celebrities in general, like Ellen obviously springs to mind, and Jodie Foster, is she a lesbian? I'm the worst.
She's a late in life lesbian, yeah.
Right,
She came out a couple of years ago, but... I think there was whispers for many years.
Yeah, sure. But you're absolutely right. You know, you do struggle. You think, oh yeah, there's loads of lesbian celebrities. There's loads of lesbian actors and musicians. And then you get asked the question point blank, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm really struggling. And I think if you and I are struggling, you know, yourself being such an important part of Diva magazine, a lesbian magazine, myself working in the LGBT plus community in many ways, you know, we should be the people who are able to kind of list them off. And if we can't, it shows that there's so much more needed. But I mean, even for you kind of growing up and things, how did it affect you personally? You know, when did you first see lesbian representation on TV or in a film, and how did that make you feel?
As I said, the first one was Anna Friel.
That was that one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could go back to the killing of Sister George, but I won't go there because that was a very butch femme film that was quite big that I remember. I wasn't lesbian when it was actually made. I think that was 1960s, but there wasn't much on. People always ask me, who are my role models, for example. Yeah. And then I come along, I was talking recently and I said, oh, Martina Navratilova, you know, they were, the audience was like, who's that? But there were very, very lesbians with very few and far between when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So now I see a big change, but not the massive change that I'd like to see, like with the gay male community.
Yes.
You know, you go to a situation like George Michael, you know, who is very, very closeted. You don't see that so much anymore. I don't know what you think. So in television, I think there's a lot more lesbian characters, but I'm very strong on lesbians playing those characters.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, you're absolutely right. So, but what about shows like, I guess, Orange is the New Black? Because I believe were they on the cover of Diva? They were a big part of one of the issues.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Orange is the New Black, they're great because they have lesbian characters. But unfortunately, the only problem that I have with that is it's obviously set in a prison. We expect to see all the lesbians, you know. So I'd like to see some lesbians out of prison. When we go to lesbian shows, what we find often when we have lesbian characters in any main films in the last few years, they always get killed off.
Yes.
You know, they die a lot. So we've been complaining a lot about that, the lesbian community. Orange and New Black is great. It's built some big stars like Ruby Rose.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's probably one of the most famous gay women on the planet at the moment. So, it's definitely growing.
I feel like what I loved about Orange is the New Black is that as I watched it, you know, there is still, you know, you watch the first couple of episodes and there still almost is that, you know, surprise factor. Like, oh, there's loads of lesbians. There's quite graphic lesbian sex, etc. But then once you start watching it, you almost become desensitized to it. And I mean that in a good way. I mean that in such a positive way. It's that suddenly as you watch it further and further, you just kind of expect these lesbian love stories and romances to appear. And some of those stories are incredible. But then you are right. There is, you know, there is death and it is set in a prison. And it's funny you say that because if I was to name another show that is great on LGBT plus representation, it would be Wentworth, the Australian show, which again is set in a prison. So... yeah, I absolutely see what you're saying. It is something that kind of needs to be addressed and needs to be improved upon.
I love B.
I love B. And we know what happened to B. I don't want to give any spoilers to our audience, but you can probably guess from the way that this conversation has gone. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. We do need to do better. But, I like to think that young lesbian bisexual women growing up now at least have a few places where they can feel seen. Because obviously, do you remember Sugar Rush? That was a huge thing when I was a teenager. Mm. It's just really, really important.
Yeah.
Sorry, Linda, go. Yes, cutting you
off. I was just going to mention, I forgot to mention Different for Girls. I mean, that, I don't know if you've seen that web series. That's absolutely massive. But it didn't get airplay on mainstream TV. So
what was that called? Different for Girls?
Yeah, it's a web series. I'm actually executive producer of it. But it's a massive lesbian series. It's had 1 million downloads on the web.
Oh, wow.
But it hasn't made mainstream for some reason, which is a little bit sad.
Yeah, no, that's really disappointing. But, yeah. It is disappointing. We are going to be joined by the incredible Matthew Hodson very, very shortly. It is National HIV Testing Week this week, so we're going to be having a conversation around that. National HIV Testing Week is something that is incredibly important to me. I've worked on the campaign for many, many years, and I think it's really important and something we should chat about. So let's have a little bit of music, and then we will get the lovely Matthew to join us. This is Femme Fatale by King Princess. Got there in the end.
Oh, here she comes. You better watch your step. Gonna break your heart in two. It's true. It's not hard to realize. Just look into her false colored eyes. She builds you up just to bring you down. What a clown. 'Cause everybody knows what she does to please. up and have a look. She's gonna smile just to make you frown. What a clown. She's from the street. Before you start, you're already beat. She's gonna play you for a fool. Yes, it's true. So everybody knows what she does to please.
Linda, I described you as somebody who, within the LGBT plus community, is somebody that everybody knows and everybody admires and everybody respects, and I most certainly do. And we are joined now by the lovely Matthew Hodson, who is another person I feel like is very well respected within this community and somebody I absolutely love and adore. How are you, Matthew?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Callum. How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very good. I mean, all the better for having you on the show. You've been somebody we've wanted to get on for a long time, so it's great to have you here.
Brilliant, brilliant. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we are joined in the studio by the lovely Linda Riley. Your two paths must have crossed at some point, I'm sure.
I met Linda. Well, we certainly met at the Black Pride event, not this year, the year before. So I think we've been to quite a few parties together.
Amazing. You know, I'm so tempted to hijack the conversation and talk about Black Pride, but I'm not going to, because there is something really, really important that we are going to talk about, and that is the fact that it is National HIV Testing Week. So, Matthew, I know you've done so much work around HIV, but, you know, around HIV prevention, getting people to get tested, you know, spreading the message about people not being able to pass on HIV if they're on effective treatment, all of these things. But so give us a little bit of a lowdown on the incredible work you do and why Testing Week is so important.
Right. Well, I mean, I work for NAM now. I previously used to work for GMFA, the Gay Men's Health Charity.
Yes.
And so that was very much about prevention. Now I'm much more working on information. But of course, actually, information is hugely powerful. And information is actually how we ensure that people with HIV can live their best, longest lives. Mm. And people without HIV are given the power to prevent acquiring HIV. So it's kind of two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
This week, HIV Testing Week. This has been an amazing innovation which we've seen in the last few years, and it's had a real impact. And the impact isn't just that people are getting tested, it's that people are getting tested and then they start treatment, and when they're on treatment, then they don't pose any risk of HIV transmission to their sexual partners, mm-hmm. which is completely fantastic. I mean, this is the news that gets me really excited and really thrilled about the work I'm doing, because we're really starting to see the impact now.
And one kind of problem that I've noticed over the years, because, you know, I've done so much work around HIV myself, is that there's almost, I feel there's a lot of people out there who almost, it's like they refuse to believe that this is the case. You know, we have such effective treatment now that means that people can live a full and healthy life, but also that they can't pass HIV onto other people. But there's almost like an unwillingness to believe that fact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's because we've had, you know, like kind of 30 plus years of being told that HIV is the worst thing ever. I mean, you know, if you go and see a stand-up show and the comedian is doing some joke about, and then a really, really bad thing happened, and it's usually AIDS, and I just sit there and go, still? You know, it's become so much kind of a part of that kind of cultural kind of iconography, is that, you know, the worst thing that could ever happen to anyone is HIV. And it's quite a challenge to move from that and from those images of people dying and, you know, the sunken cheeks and all of that, to say, actually, people with HIV now, same life expectancy as everybody else, plus we become uninfectious when our treatment is effective, which it is for most people in the UK. So, you know, I mean, it's just a big shift, and I understand why it's really hard to take that on. Especially if you were around and you saw people dying and you lost, you know, your friends and your lovers and, you know, all of that. It's a trauma. It's a trauma for lots of us.
And how do you think we kind of, and I know, you know, so much of the work you're doing is doing this, but how do you think we kind of educate people and get people to try and, you know, change the way that they think about HIV?
Well, I mean, obviously it's about information. I mean, information is how we dispel fear, it's how we dispel ignorance, it's how we tackle stigma. And the news that when we are undetectable, we are no longer a transmission risk to our sexual partners, we call this U equals U, undetectable equals untransmittable. I mean, this news is really groundbreaking. I mean, I've seen people go from saying, oh, I'd never have sex with someone who's living with HIV, to saying, oh, that makes all the difference. You know,
yes.
I mean, you see that change as soon as people know it and understand it. So what I'm saying to people right now, I'm saying, well, here's the challenge. Find someone this week who doesn't know about U equals U, who doesn't realize the impact of treatment on prevention. Give them this information. And when they've understood it, and when they say, yeah, I take that on board, I know this to be true now, then set them the challenge of telling somebody else. Because this is how we are going to spread the word. It could be one person to one person. We have all of this information on the AIDS Map website. So if someone can come in and they can have a look and look at all of the studies that show us that this is true. But the thing that's going to count is when we tell people. And that's why I spend a lot of my time telling people about this.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And, you know, I hope that that's something that we can achieve here on the show today. I hope everybody listening, you know, if you didn't already understand everything Matthew was just saying about U equals U, and you do understand it now, I really strongly urge you to, you know, not just take that on board yourself and, you know, let that change the way you think about HIV, but also do pass that knowledge on, because like Matthew's saying, it's so, so important. And the only way to kind of improve things is information, and the best way to spread that information is on the grapevine, is by word of mouth.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have the saying when I worked at GMFA, we used to say shag one, nag one. So, you know, I mean, if every gay man did that, we would get there fairly quickly, I reckon.
I mean, I struggle to shag guys. I've not been very lucky in my sex life recently, Matthew. So
I'm
maybe
sorry to hear that.
So I've been doing a lot more nagging than shagging, I would say.
Maybe you need to kind of reverse the order. You know, start off with the shag, then move on to the nag. Maybe that's what's stopping the shagging.
I think that would work.
You're sounding a bit of a lesbian there.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, Matthew, and I think this is a really, really important message that I want to share with everyone, and I know it's something that you're quite passionate about as well, is that this kind of idea that when people think about getting tested for HIV, I think people don't realize that no matter the outcome of your HIV test, it's a good thing, because either you get tested for HIV and you find out that it's negative, which is obviously great, or you get a positive HIV test, which, you know, that's not actually a bad thing. You're finding out, you're being given a diagnosis which allows you to get treatment, which will, you know, enable you to live a long and healthy life and a full life, the same as everybody else. And I think that's a really, really important message to share.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was diagnosed, and I was diagnosed, 20 years ago now, and I felt, I think I'll probably die when I'm about the age of 50.
Yeah.
You know, and that was just what I thought, because I just thought, you know, 20 years, that's a good innings. We had treatment then, but, you know, it wasn't as established as it is now. And then just last year, I was at a meeting, Public Health England said, someone who is diagnosed with HIV now and is able to access treatment promptly has exactly the same life expectancy as someone who isn't living with the virus. And, you know, and that was just one of those kind of big emotional moments, because you kind of go, everything that we had thought about HIV, everything that's kind of built into our culture about HIV, which is that you will die young and in pain. And I want to say to people, it really isn't like that. The biggest challenge most of us who live with HIV face now is people's fear and ignorance and the stigma that comes out of that.
Mm. And what kind of damage do you think that fear and stigma does? You know, other than the obvious, you know, because people do experience discrimination because of their status, which is horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really open about my HIV status, and for me, I have to say that that's been really helpful because, you know, quite frankly, if someone like kind of tries to shame me or whatever, I mean, like, you get those attitudes where someone goes, "Oh, well, you must have been a slut, or you must be really stupid, or what have you," and I kind of go, "Yeah, fine, whatever." And you know, or I get kind of people saying, I talk about U=U, and people say, "Oh, what? You don't tell me you have unprotected sex," and it's like, you know, I go, "Well, you know, none of your business." But yeah, I think you're trying to slut shame me, and you're going for the wrong person here. So you know, you can probably spend your energies better elsewhere. But I do know how difficult it is for other people. And you know, if you're not out to your family, if you're not out to your employer, and if you take on board the things which you hear about people who live with HIV, that sluttiness, that stupidity, all of those things which people say on a regular basis, it has an impact. And yeah. And you know, what I say is that actually HIV stigma is a public health crisis.
Absolutely.
And you know, we really need to be putting resource and energy and effort into tackling that, because that is resulting in bullying, it's resulting in violence, it's resulting in self-harm, you know, and in extreme cases it results in suicide and murder. Mm. You know, and we see this around the world, and it breaks my heart when I hear about lives being lost unnecessarily, not because of the virus, but because of the stigma that's still attached to the virus.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really heartbreaking. And, you know, over the years, I've got to meet some incredible people living with HIV who have shared their stories with me and shared how people have, you know, bullied them and harassed them and all of these horrible things. You know, there was this incredible pastor, and, you know, she shares her story publicly, but I'm not going to name her right now. But this incredible pastor who was told by her church, she contracted HIV from her husband, who didn't know that he had it. And, you know, she was shamed by her church and kicked out of her church for having HIV. And she was told that she had to stop taking her medication and to start praying. You know, that's the kind of damage that I feel like miseducation can do. And, you know, there was another story of this young girl who was diagnosed with HIV at 11 years old because she was born with HIV. And people in her school bullied her. And instead of her school standing up for her, her school actually removed her from the school and said that she was the problem. You know, these are the kind of problems that HIV stigma causes. And it's very serious and it's very damaging. And if anything, it makes people afraid to get tested, which, you know, is a huge issue.
So the thing I would say to someone who's just been diagnosed, I'd say three things. One, get yourself educated, find out about life expectancy, find out about all the treatments that are available. Two, work with your doctor to ensure that you're taking a course of treatment which is going to work for you, which fits in with your life and which your body can cope with. Mm. Three, moisturize. You're going to live a long time.
I love that final one. And I actually heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I did hear a rumor, and I think it's a theory, that some people living with HIV are actually expected to live slightly longer because they're taking such good care of their health, because they're, you know, seeing their doctor more frequently. There's actually this expectation that in the future it could potentially cause people to live longer in an indirect route, you know?
Well, I mean, we actually already seeing, I mean, there's kind of quite a body of evidence that this is starting to happen.
Oh, wow.
This is mainly because men, I mean, men are terrible. I mean, I'm sure Linda will agree with me on this. This is rubbish. we are, and one of the things which we're particularly bad at, we're bad at a lot of things, but we're really, really bad at looking after our own health. So we don't go to the doctor. But, you know, the wonderful advantage of living with HIV is that we're forced to go to the doctor at least twice a year. And, you know, while you're there, they say, "Well, you know, how are you feeling? Blah, blah, blah." And, you know, I sit there kind of griping about the fact that my bones are aching because I've just done a 10K run. But, you know, they do dismiss that. But it does give people the opportunity to talk about any other health issues. And it's just because men are crap that really, if it's men who are living with HIV, it just gets them into medical services a bit more often. So it's much more likely that other challenges or issues will be detected early.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And as well, Matthew, I also want our audience and our listeners to know that, like, you know, taking HIV medication, for instance, isn't this big, complicated thing. It's not like 30 pills a day, because I think there's like a misunderstanding around that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, we've got so much better at treating HIV, and that's, you know, really important. So it used to be that you would have to take lots of pills, and sometimes the dosing regimen might be quite complicated, like you had to take it with food or not with food, or, you know, I've heard horror stories about people having to take kind of pills at like kind of six different times of the day, and some with food and some without, and it's just like, oh. Most people now, it's like one or two pills, and usually you take it once a day, and often it's nothing to do with food. Myself, I just take my pills. I actually have to take three, but, you know, I take my three pills just before I go to bed every night, which is kind of easy.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember, you know, it's part of the routine. I'm pretty good at it now, and I think for most people, you know, find a regimen that suits you. If you're on a regimen which is difficult to take, change your regimen, because there are options available.
Yeah.
And that's really important, is that, you know, people with HIV should talk to their doctor and make sure that whatever treatment they're on is one that suits them and one which they can stick to.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, it's been incredible to have you on the show. I feel like we should hit our listeners with a final 3 points. So your main three takeaway points, summarized.
Okay.
Go. Putting you on the
okay.
spot.
Main three takeaway points. If there's any chance that you are living with HIV and you haven't been diagnosed, take advantage of HIV testing week. Go and get tested. Not only will it mean that if you are living with HIV, you'll live a long life, but you'll also be contributing to bringing down the actual number of new infections, because you'll become uninfectious. And how fantastic is that? I think I probably got about 3 points into that one single
smashed
one.
It.
Perhaps I should quit while I'm ahead.
Smashed it. Well, Matthew, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you, Callum. Thank you.
I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Lizzo. This is Water Me.
Give me that sweet tea, you think I'm playing? I need it all night, no sleep. You can get it in the kitchen if it's sweating at the sheets. Like, brr, brr, operator, you got me like, hee-hee, Mike Jackson. Think on, think on, think on. I'm getting thicker, and I can make you boil up. Baby, let it simmer. Oh,
We have been tweeted in by the lovely Hadley Stewart, who says, home just in time to catch Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio. Thank you so much for listening, Hadley. You know that I love you. It is time for our favourite part of the show. This is Sex Confession. So thank you so much to everyone who has sent in a confession. How are you feeling about this, Linda? Are you excited?
Bit nervous.
All right, let's dive right in. Actually, this first one is a good one. This is quite a serious one, but a good one to address. So, I went off my antidepressants because it killed my libido. Now I'm horny 24/7, and it's great. I don't think I'll go back on them, but my moods are all over the place, and I'm not sure what to do. So I have a lot. I don't know if you have anything to say on this, Linda, but I have a lot to say on this one.
I'm just looking. Is it sex or depression? Is that what?
Well, so this is the thing. So that when, because I have experience of this, I used to take antidepressants. I took citalopram about 3 years ago, and this was actually something that I noticed. I noticed that it did also kill my libido. I found that suddenly I wasn't as horny or wanting sex as usual, and it was quite a, I wouldn't say difficult thing, but it was quite an unusual experience because I wasn't kind of expecting it. You know, I hadn't really been warned about it. But what I will say is that antidepressants, you know, they completely changed and saved my life. You know, they got me to a much better place, and they certainly helped me on my path to recovery. So I would never advise somebody not to take them because they're worried about this, about it killing their libido. And also, it was something that passed. You know, I felt for about 6 weeks when I first started taking them, I noticed that my sex drive went through the floor. It went really, really down. But then I started to get it back over time. And I think it was just my body kind of adjusting. So although I think it, you know, thank you so much for sending in your confession. Confession seems like the wrong word. Thank you for sending in your little story there. And I'm glad that you're saying that your horniness has come back, and that's great. But you know, if you are still struggling, I would say kind of talk to your doctor first of all. Obviously, myself and Linda, neither of us are medical professionals, so do talk to your doctor. But from my own personal anecdotal advice, I would say, you know, if you do stick it out with the antidepressants, I feel like your horniness and your sex drive will hopefully come back. Good, nailed it. Linda.
Speaks the voice of experience, though. I didn't like to say about that one.
I love that I gave the answer and then said nailed it. I'm just sitting here congratulating myself.
You did.
All right, our next one is, my boyfriend has such long hair that when we go out after we've had sex, we always find cum in his hair. We have to pick it out on the lowdown. How funny. yeah, this is not one that I've had personal experience with, I must say.
I'm not good. I mean, I'm just going to suggest get a haircut, maybe.
I think a haircut is the way to go. Myself and Linda, we've both got quite short hair, so I feel like this isn't an issue for us. So, you know, maybe a haircut is the solution. All right. I'm sorry. I'm getting myself a little bit mixed up here. All right. The next one is, I matched with a guy on Tinder who plays semi-professional football. He sent me a picture of himself in his jersey, and since I don't know much about his team, I Googled him. I found out he was engaged, even though he assured me he was single. So I decided to take screenshots of our messages and send them to his fiance. Right, I don't like that last sentence. I don't like that you did that. I don't think that was the right thing to do at all. What do you think about this, Linda?
No, I didn't like that at all.
No.
I didn't like the cheating for a start, but then I think just end it.
Yeah, I don't. It's a really tricky one. But essentially, you're finding yourself in a position where you're meddling in somebody else's life. And you know, I get the frustration that, you know, you're hooking up with this guy and they have a fiance and maybe they're not being honest with their fiance. But it's not your place to out that person, whether it's to their partner or otherwise. And I don't mean this in a judgmental way. You know, thank you so much for sending
in
your confession.
I'm being judgmental. I think
Linda's being judgmental.
It's wrong. It sounds wrong.
You're a monster. No, I do agree. It's not the right thing to do. I'm trying to end it on a positive, but I'm struggling.
Do you feel good about yourself after doing that? That's the main thing. If you do, then good for you.
I think it's one of those things. I think sometimes we can act out of kind of like frustration or anger, but you never, you know, it's never going to make you happy, you know, doing something like that, being like, well, I'm going to send screenshots to your fiance. It's not going to resolve anything. It's not going to fix, your problem with this person, it's not going to fix this person's problem with their fiance. If anything, it's just exacerbating the issue. So I appreciate where you came from, but I don't think that was the right thing to do. So if you are listening, please don't do similar, would be my advice. Don't do this. thank you so much to everyone who did send in a confession, even if we judged you heavily for it. We still very much appreciate you doing that.
I feel guilty now.
No, you shouldn't, Linda. You spoke your mind, and I believe, and you know, all power to you. We stan.
It's only because somebody once did that to me. No, I'm only joking. No.
Oh, I thought you were being serious now. I was like, oh God, this is going to take a dark turn. Linda, this actually brings you to the end of this show. Brings us to the end of the show, sorry. It's been so great to have you here. I want you to tell our audience again about the music festival, because we need to get people there. We need to get people supporting it. All female artists, LGBT plus artists, an incredible thing. Sell it to me, Linda.
Sell it to you. It's the Diva Music Festival. I'll be there.
Yes.
Heather Peace will be there. Horse will be there. Grace Petrie, Katie Tunstall, Gabrielle. It's in Great Yarmouth. I mean, haven't you always wanted to go to Great
always
Yarmouth?
Always wanted to go to Great Yarmouth.
And it's next weekend, Friday to Sunday, 30th of November.
Amazing.
Book your tickets.
I may get a ticket myself. Honestly, I just want to come for you, Linda, if anything. We'll have a great time in the mud.
Definitely. There's beautiful chalets there. They're really, 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 really well designed. It's like upmarket camping.
Oh, nice. Well, you missed that part out. Well, you've said it now. That's what matters. Well, Linda, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Honey Lavender.
I don't wanna be your secret, 'cause by the time I'm here you're leaving. You never wanna take the chance, you got two left feet but you still know how to dance. Yeah, I don't mean to rush you, baby. Indecisiveness got me feeling crazy, and I don't want any bad karma. But when you gonna tell your mama that you mad at boy, you don't care she tells your father? Why would you bother to cover up your tracks? Never call me back to where we started. Oh, 'cause you don't wanna see the night. You don't know you're wrong from right, wrong from right, yeah. Sweet like honey lavender, keep on running back to her, back to her. I don't wanna be your backup. You hear me when you enough. I guess I got to roll the dice. You say pretty little things, but you don't play nice, yeah. I don't mean to rush you, baby. Indecisiveness got me feeling crazy, and I don't want any bad karma. But when you gonna tell your mama that you're mad at boy, you don't care what she tells your father? Why would you bother to cover up your tracks? Never call me back to where we started. Oh, 'cause you don't wanna see the night. You don't know you're wrong from right, wrong from right, yeah. Sweet like honey lavender, keep on running back to her, back to her.
You don't wanna stay the night. You don't wanna stay the night. You don't wanna stay the night.
You say that you want me, but I don't know. Patience like petrol, it's running out. I'm still gonna try and give you space, and I don't know what else to say now. 'Cause you don't wanna see the night.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.